গোপী জনা বাড়ি শোভানন্দন প্রজ্জন্নারঞ্জন জয় নিত্যালয়ের প্রবেশ তার সাথে শ্রী শ্রী মনীষ গবান রয়েছে এই শ্রী ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী শ্রীল প্রভুকহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রবণিতানন্দ শ্রী আদ্বৈত শিখরার শিবাশ্রী গৌরভক্ত নিকি জয় শ্রী শ্রী রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর গোপা গোপীনাথ শ্যাম কুন্দরাধ খঞ্জিকি গৌরং কি জয় গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ ভগবতাম কি জয় শ্রীনিবাস শ্রীবাস পণ্ডিত প্রভু কি জয় গৌরবেনন্দে All glories to the Yasama devotees. All glories to the Yasama devotees. All glories to the Lord of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Janata Mananda Syad Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Manidam Yenatasma Sri Guru Venamaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangam Jayate Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Guru Dhinitarino Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vahe Vacha Patitanam Pavanedyo Vaishnadevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare When a member of the Panchatattva has their appearance day, we can't overstep it. We can't just move on with the regular topic. We have a big festival for Mahaprabhu, for Nityananda, for Advaita. So similarly, we have to give some attention to Srivas Pandit, which is curious because I probably have one of the longest purports that has been for the last several classes. It's almost 3-4 pages. So I'm going to shortcut a little bit through this. Yahi Vava Mahimni Ste Parashmin Kalamahiroya Rameta Gatta Sammohas Taktvo Dashti Tabodayam. Translation. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifest as the pure soul. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The two misconceptions of life, namely I and mine, are verily manifest in two classes of men. In the lower state of the conception of mine is very, very, in the lower state, the conception of mine is very prominent. And in the higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. In the animal state of life, the misconception of mine is perceivable even in the category of cats and dogs, who fight with one another with the same misconception of mine. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is also prominent in the shape of it is my body, it is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on and so on. Practical example of this that I get to live with every single day is there are dogs across the street from me and next door to me. And the one dog across the street will be penned up, chained up nicely on a rope right in the front yard, can't go anywhere except a little distance. And if another dog crosses the street, a car drives down the street, a bird flies across, the dog barks, this is my yard, what are you doing, go away. This Prabhupada mentions like this. Similarly, in the next door neighbor, all I have to do is go into the backyard and the dog in the next yard can detect through the wood fence that, oh, someone's there. He begins barking, what are you doing? Go away, this is my area. Though this is the concept of this is mine. This is what Prabhupada's referring to here. And in the higher stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mine is transformed into I am, or it is all I am, etc. There are many classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mine in different colors. But the real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of I am the eternal servitor of the Lord. This is pure consciousness. And the whole Vedic literatures teach us this conception of life. The misconception of I am the Lord or I am the Supreme is more dangerous than the misconception of mine. Although there are sometimes directions in the Vedic literatures to think of oneself with the Lord, to think of oneself as one with the Lord, that does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every respect. Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many respects, but ultimately the living entity is subordinate to the Lord, and he is constitutionally meant for satisfying the senses of the Lord. The Lord therefore asks the conditioned souls to surrender unto him. Had the living entities not been subordinate to the Supreme Will, why would the living entity be asked to surrender? Had the living being been equal in all respects, then why was he put under the influence of Maya? We have already discussed many times that the material energy is controlled by the Lord. 9th chapter, 10th verse of the Bhagavad Gita confirms this controlling power of the Lord over the material energy. Can a living entity who claims to be as good as the Supreme Lord, or the Supreme Being, control the material nature? The foolish I would reply that he will do so in the future. Even accepting that in the future one will be as good as the controller of the material nature as the Supreme Being, then why is one now under the control of the material nature? The Bhagavad Gita says that one can be freed from the control of material nature by surrendering under the Supreme Lord. But if there is no surrender, then the living entity will never be able to control the material nature. So one must also give up the conception of I by practicing the way of devotional service, or firmly being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A poor man without any employment or any occupation may undergo so many troubles in life, but if by chance that same man gets a good service under the government, he at once becomes happy. There is no profit in denying the supremacy of the Lord, who is the controller of all energies. But one should be constitutionally situated in one's own glory, namely, to be situated in the pure consciousness of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. Very interesting point Prabhupada makes here. We have glory. It's not that we're simply just useless nothing. We have glory, but it's only when we're in our own constitutional position of servant of the Lord. In his conditioned life, the living entity is servant of the illusory Maya. And in his liberated state, he is the pure, unqualified servant of the Lord. To become untinged by the modes of material nature is the qualification for entering into the service of the Lord. As long as one is a servant of mental concoctions, one cannot be completely free from the disease of I and mine. The Supreme Truth is uncontaminated by the illusory energy because he is the controller of that energy. The relative truths are apt to be engrossed in the illusory energy. The best purpose is served, however, when one is directly facing the Supreme Truth, as when one faces the sun. The sun overhead in the sky is full of light, but when the sun is not visible in the sky, all is in darkness. Similarly, when one is face to face with the Supreme Lord, he is freed from all illusions. And one who is not so is in the darkness of illusory Maya. The Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, 26th verse, confirms this as follows. Mamchayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevati saguna samatitaita brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So the science of bhakti yoga, or the worship of the Lord, glorifying the Lord, hearing the Supreme Bhagavata, Srimad Bhagavatam from the right sources, not from the professional man, but from a person who is the Bhagavatam in life, and being always in the association of pure devotees, should be adapted in earnestness very important point from this pulpit, if we take nothing away from it, that these three things, worshiping the Lord, glorifying the Lord, hearing the Bhagavatam from the right source, and four things, and being in the association of pure devotees. These are the things we should adapt. And Prabhupada says, in earnestness. One should not be misled by misconceptions of I and mine. The karmis are fond of the conception of mine. The gyanis are fond of the conception of I. And both of them are unqualified to be free from the bondage of the illusionary energy. Srimad Bhagavatam, and primarily the Bhagavad Gita, are both meant for delivering a person from the misconception of I and mine. And Srila Vyasadeva transcribed them for the deliverance of the fallen souls. The living entity has to be situated in the transcendental position where there is no more influence of time nor of the material energy. In conditioned life, the living entity is subject to the influence of time in the dream of past, present, and future. The mental speculator tries to conquer the influence of time by future speculations of becoming Vasudeva, or the Supreme Lord himself, by means of cultivating knowledge and conquering over the ego. But the process is not perfect. The perfect process is to accept Lord Vasudeva as the Supreme in everything. And the best perfection in cultivating and culturing knowledge is to surrender unto him, because he is the source of everything. Only in that conception can one get rid of the misconception of I and mine. Both Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam confirm it. Srila Vyasadeva has specifically contributed to the illusion living entities the science of God and the process of Bhakti Yoga in his great literature Srimad Bhagavatam. And the conditioned soul should take full advantage of this great science. This purport really hones in on two points here. One being, we're all an illusion. Either the illusion of thinking everything is mine, or the illusion of thinking I am everything. Or worse yet, as Prabhupada says, how does he say it? The worst, more dangerous, the most dangerous misconception. Thinking that I am the Supreme Lord. So in this way, this is the illusion. But then he counters that in this same purport by saying, but the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme, and taking shelter of him, this is the path of deliverance. And then he concludes all this by saying, and that is found in these pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are so fortunate to have the Srimad Bhagavatam at our very reach. This is Srila Prabhupada's life work, and this is, as he said, these Bhaktivedanta purports have everything in them. So this particular purport is very, very detailed, and on any other day we could spend hours and hours on it, but I really want to transition here to the pastimes of Srivas Pandit. As a member of the Panchatattva, he is crucial to our understanding the position of Mahaprabhu, the service to Mahaprabhu, and the necessity for devotional service in this age of Kali Yuga. We find this indication in the Gaura Gonadesha Deepika as to his identity, which is very important, and that is to say that he is the same as Narada Muni. Narada Muni, of course, plays a very significant role in the pastimes of Krishna. Every time trouble is being stirred up to take its next step, to move to the next level, Narada Muni's got his hand in there, you know. Kamsa was satisfied, okay, the later children of Devaki is the one I get. Well, not now, not now. Narada Muni, no, you don't know, things to be, all right, so then Kamsa starts killing them also. Every time, in every leela of the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is intricate into this. In the same way, Srivas is intricate in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, both in Navadvip, in his Nimai Pandit Leela, and in Puri, in his pastimes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's interesting, Narada Muni's best friend is Parvat Muni, and Parvat Muni appeared in the same family as his younger brother. So in this way, these two personalities continue on from pastime to pastime. We read this all throughout the Bhagavatam, how the different personalities go from pastime to pastime to pastime. I mean, kind of a incredibly mundane analogy, but you know, in the previous days, you had what were called the Deadheads, and the Grateful Dead were just so good to them as a band. They would just follow them everywhere. Didn't matter where their road show was at, they were there. And all the different musical groups have these things, and they give their followers different names and this is and that's. Here we have the real road show, and here we have the real personalities that are devoted to following what's going on and being a part of it. Additionally, Krishna's wet nurse, whose name is Ambika, the name of my my son-in-law's mother, very, very nice devotee, she took the role of Malini, the wife of Srivas. The prayer given to the Panchatattva is essential here for this understanding. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who has appeared in five aspects as a devotee, as the expansion of a devotee, as the incarnation of a devotee, as a pure devotee, and as devotional energy. This is very important. All five of these are the understanding of how we keep ourselves solid in the path of devotional service, and each is represented by a different member of the Panchatattva. We may remember, those of us that have been around for a while, early on days before Chaitanya Charitamrita was out in its full glory, distributing that book, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, that one chapter from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know what people thought of when they got it and read it, but we were passing out like crazy and giving everybody that contact. It is important here to make a reference to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary on the Panchatattva. The supremely potent is revealed in five different manifestations according to his desire to experience five different pastimes. There is no difference between these five. They are one truth expressed in five varieties. Thus, Sri Gauranga, Sri Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, and Sri Vas, and the other devotees are ontologically non-different from one another. Nevertheless, that one truth is manifest in these five features as a devotee, as the expansion of a devotee, as the incarnation of a devotee, as the energy of a devotee, and as a pure devotee, according to the desire to relish the different tastes of divine relationships with the Lord. Of these five truths, the Supreme Lord himself, the son of Nanda, takes on the devotional mood to become Bhakta Rupa. His full expansion, Swayam Prakash, takes on the role of Balaram, takes on the devotional mood and appears as Bhakta Sarup, Nityananda. The Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, takes on the devotional mood and appears as the Bhakta avatar, incarnation of a devotee, Advaita Acharya. These three are all Prabhus. They are all Vishnu Tattva. The devotional energy, Bhakta Shakti, and the pure devotee, Sudha Bhakta, are classified as energies of Vishnu Tattva, which are considered non-different because of their dependent relationship. The devotional energies are Gadadhar, Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, etc. The pure devotees include Srivas and others who are in the mood of friendship or servitude. Srivas is thus a member of the Panchatattva. Now, if we look at the background of Srivas, it's interesting because we mentioned a week ago, Jagannath Mishra, how Jagannath Mishra came from Shailapur. And this is the same place that Srivas Pandit came from originally. This is his family history is to there. And later on in his life, he moved to Navadvip. And in Navadvip, he had numerous, immense contributions to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Both the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata, and the other Gauralila literatures give so much information, particularly about these brothers that lived there, Sri Ram Pandit, Sri Patti, Sri Kanta, and Sri Nidhi. These were all the brothers that were engaged in these services and pastimes with the Lord, integral in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during this time. Their father was a very great Vedic Brahmana, and his name was Jaladhar Pandit. Jaladhar had 5 sons, and the eldest son was Srinalini. So these 5 sons, all coming from a very devotionally focused family, had these contributions to the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, particularly in his Navadvipa Lila. Now this eldest son, Nalini, he had a daughter whose name was Narayani. And Narayani's husband was one Vaikuntadas. Vaikuntadas Vipra, to be exact. And he died when Narayani was pregnant with their first child. And this first child was an interesting personality, Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he became the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat because through the eyes of his mother as well as his own vision, he was able to observe all of these pastimes of the Lord. Once her husband, Vasudeva Vipra, passed away, she went and stayed in the house of Srivas in Navadvipa, and the family took them in this way. During Nimai Pandit's student life, his fun, you can say, was to engage Gadadhar and Mukunda, other devotees as well, but predominantly these two, in different types of debate. He would do this both when he was in the school of Gangadas and after leaving Gangadas's school with Gangadas's encouragement, opening his own school. He would debate with the students and none of them could defeat him on the point he was presenting. Then he would turn around and take the opposite point and debate them on that, proving it to be superior to the first point. Srila Prabhupada was fond of doing this on his morning walks sometimes. He would challenge someone to debating different subject, you know, and then they couldn't answer, and then he would take that position and go back and forth. So in this way, it's a pretty common activity, you know, like this. And of course, the devotees were always astonished by how Mahaprabhu could be so strong on one point and then turn right around and be so strong on the other side of it, you know. And during this time period, Nimai was always very respectful to Srivas. We can keep in mind the age differential here. Srivas and Malini were like the surrogate parents of Nityananda. So this clearly puts them in a much older generation. And as a result of this, there was great respect by Nimai Pandit towards Srivas. Whenever he would see Srivas, he would always greet him very respectfully. And then Srivas would always give him the blessing, may you have devotion to Krishna. This was the desire, the elder residents of Navadvipa. Keep in mind that like in Krishna's Leela, in Gaura Leela, not everybody, practically nobody understood, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Krishna come in this role. So he was in this guise of just being a learned scholar and a logician and so on and so on and so on. And so all of the elder Vaishnavas, they used to talk amongst themselves, if this Nimai could just become a devotee. So in this way, Srivas did all these blessings. May you have devotion to Krishna. He would respectfully come before him. May you have devotion to Krishna. So this was their hope. Now, one day, Srivas was walking through the village, through the outskirts, on the way to the market or whatever, and he encountered Nimai Pandit. And he asked Nimai Pandit, he said, why do people study? And Nimai Pandit is a great logician, he's a teacher, he says they study to learn. He said, no. Srivas said, they study to become devotees of Krishna. What is the use of one studying? What is the use of one's knowledge if they do not become a devotee of Krishna? So then he spoke directly to Nimai Pandit. He said, do not waste your time. Start worshiping Krishna as soon as you can. So this was the mood of Srivas towards Nimai Pandit, always encouraging him. And ideally in any devotional community, this is the mood of the elders to the juniors. You know, we have this understanding from the Chaitanya Charitamrita of the 4 types of relationships of devotees. Those that we take instruction from and serve. Those that are equals that we share our heart and our mind with and they do with us. those that are our juniors that we encourage and give guidance to, and then those that chant the Hare Krishna mantra but we respect from a distance. So in this way, Srivas had this role of viewing Nimai Pandit as a junior, so to speak, and encouraging him on this path of bhakti to the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, Mahaprabhu was never inimical in this regard. See, he never took the position of, well, I'm a great teacher, why are you bothering me with this stuff? No, he was always very, very happy to hear such words of devotion coming from the mouth of a devotee. And he would say, you are a great devotee. By your mercy, I will surely have devotion to Krishna someday. Now, this is interesting because this is reminding me of an old Yiddish saying when someone says something very beneficial, from your lips to God's ears. So, you know, this was the response Mahaprabhu was giving here. Yes, you are a devotee, you are blessing me in this way. By your mercy alone will this happen. And this is really our position. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy alone, none of us have any qualification, any skill, any knowledge that's put us in this path of devotional service. But by the mercy of a pure devotee, we've come in contact with it and been able to purify, better, and uplift our lives. So in the same way here, this is the encouragement that Srivas is giving and the reciprocation that Mahaprabhu is taking from it. Now, even though Srivas couldn't help but be attached to Nimai, attracted to his beauty, just, you know, enamored by him, at the same time, they were not able to recognize him. Like I said, they didn't realize that this was the Supreme Lord. And this was all the workings of Yoga Maya Shakti. When Krishna was eating the dirt, and Mother Jasoda looked into his mouth and saw the planets, she became a little overwhelmed. And Krishna immediately put her back into the illusion energy. That appreciation of Krishna as the Supreme Lord completely spoiled the relationship with Mother Jasoda. So in the same way, during Nimai Pandit's Leela in Navadvip, the devotees had to be under this illusion to enhance the sweetness of the relationship that they would have. And this is said to be the most astonishing pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that all of these devotees, they actually didn't really see Mahaprabhu for who he was. Now we know in due course of time, Mahaprabhu's father departed this world, and then in further course of time, Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. And then in Gaya, he met Ishwar Puri, didn't meet him for the first time, as we discussed the other day, but he met him again, and this was the point at which he really embraced the concept of developing love of God, of being a devotee in this way. And when he returned back home, Mother Sachi became a little concerned. Because this new manifestation of Nimai Pandit as a great devotee, always in ecstasy, always seeing everything in relation to Krishna, always speaking everything in relation to Krishna, it was seen as a kind of madness. And Mahaprabhu, he approached Srivas, and he said, everyone thinks I've gone crazy. He said, what do you think has happened to me? Now this shows two things. This shows that Nimai Pandit felt he had a shelter in Srivas. I need a solid, a balanced understanding of what's happening. So he goes to Srivas. And similarly, it shows that he understood Srivas would have an insight to the devotional mood. Keep in mind, Nimai Pandit is externally acting in one way, but internally has a whole other identity. So Srivas laughs at him. And he says, it's a good thing you've asked me this. He starts off right off like that. He said, the life heirs that you have, no, I'm sorry, he says, if your life heirs had become disturbed, then I want that same disturbance of life heirs for myself. Because I see the great mood of devotion that has invaded your entire body. Krishna has been very merciful to you and brought you to his shelter. Mahaprabhu heard this answer from Srivas and embraced him. He exclaimed, if you too had said I was going mad, I would have drowned myself in the Ganga. But you have understood what is really happening, and I thank you for that. So, in this way, we see such an important position Shrivas has, and Mahaprabhu's coming to this manifested external appearance of love of God. In the earlier time, Shrivas was just, you know, become a devotee. And then when it manifests, he's able to encourage Mahaprabhu and show, yes, this is correct, this is true. Now, it's at this time that Mahaprabhu institutes the loud chanting, as it says in Chaitanya Bhagavata, the loud chanting of the holy names in his own home, as well as at Shrivas Angam. Now, this had two effects. One effect was the devotees were just in bliss. The holy name is being brought out, they're all getting this, and it's like an intimate kirtan. You know, it's not one of these huge thousands of ripra, you know, there's a handful of devotees, and it's in Shrivasangam's house, or it's in Mahaprabhu's home, and it's at nighttime, and it's a refined group with a collective focus. The neighbors didn't quite see it that way. They all complained about how much, you know, noise is being made next door. Reminded me of the old 55th Street Temple. You know, Mangalarti, we had to be very quiet. Just one pair of cartels and one Mridanga, because we had neighbors on both sides, you know, big, you know, 8 and 10 story buildings filled with a, and the drum carries through the wall and the cymbals go up, you know. So, you know, we always had to be very quiet not to disturb anybody at Mangalarti. This is the case in many temples. So, in the same way, these late night kirtans that were going on, they were a great disturbance to the neighbors. And they were looking for ways to counter Mahaprabhu's chanting. They saw it as a movement, and they were looking for ways to counter this. And this included, of course, is when you're going to the king in the area and presenting false rumors and, you know, begging him to punish the devotees and all like this. And Shrivas, here again, in his role under the influence of Yogamaya, he began to believe that these complaints from the neighbors may be successful, that they may find shelter at the ears of the king, and that so much trouble will be caused for the devotees. So, in this mood, he began to worship Lord Nrisimhadev. We all know that the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev is many times sought after by the devotees for protection, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. And so he began to worship in his home on his altar at Nrisimhadev. Now, Mahaprabhu, understanding that Shrivas had become afraid, as the Lord, he takes away the distress of his devotees. So he went to the house of Shrivas. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't call, "Oh, Shrivas, are you there?" He kicked open the door and stormed in and proclaimed very loudly, "Who is it that you are worshiping? Who is it that you are meditating upon? He whom you are worshiping for protection, he is standing right before you." He proclaimed this very loudly. He said, "I will save the righteous and I will destroy the wicked. You should worry no longer, Shrivas." And then, in saying this, he sat down and took the Nrisimha Yogasana position. And he manifested this form with the concha, the disc, the club, and the lotus, you know, this divine form of Nrisimhadev in this position of protecting his devotees. When Shrivas saw this extraordinary manifestation, he was overcome with great feelings of love and devotion and comfort, because he knew he was going to be protected from these rumors and naysayers of the next door neighbors and their complaints to the king. And he began to offer so many wonderful prayers to the Lord. And Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased at the recitals of Shrivas. And he told him, "You call your wife and your family members and all the members of your extended family and bring them in to see my divine form." Now this, at this time, is very rare. Mahaprabhu is keeping his identity as the Supreme Lord pretty much under wraps. But there are certain times where he manifests this and displays it. And this is one of those times. And it wasn't just two or three people. Excuse me. He's manifesting this one for the entire household of Shivas to see. Now, at this time, little Naraini is brought forward. And Naraini is given the Mahaprasadam from Nimai Pandit. And he calls her out to utter the name of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So she begins chanting like this, and everybody becomes very, very, very pleased. So in this way, he guaranteed the shelter of Shrivas, and by doing so, guaranteed the shelter of all devotees that take shelter of him, that understand him to be non-different than the Nrisimhadeva. Now, on another occasion, this is just shortly after, or right about the same time as Nityananda and Mahaprabhu met for the first time at the house of Chandanacharya. So Nitai had arrived at Nandanacharya's home and had kind of kept himself under wraps. And so Mahaprabhu, of course, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could understand that Nityananda has arrived. So he went there with the accompaniment of several devotees. There was a little bit of lead up to this, but eventually he went there and he wanted to reveal the glories of Nityananda. And so he had Shrivas, because Nityananda is keeping himself kind of under wraps. And many of the devotees, the elder devotees, sent Mahaprabhu to this Ishwarpuri when he came to visit Advaitacharya, did like this. So at any rate, he wanted to reveal this identity of Nityananda. So he had Shrivas recite a particular verse. The translation on that I'll read. Krishna, whose glories are sung to the world by the cowherd boys, dressed as a dancer performing, a peacock feather decorating his topknot, Kanikara flowers behind his ears, a golden cloth covering his body, and a Vaijanti garland around his neck. He entered the Vrindavan forest, the pleasure of garden of his auspiciously, the pleasure garden of his auspiciously marked feet, while filling the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. So Shrivas recited this. Now Shrivas didn't recite it in this choppy, horrible thing we call English. He recited it in the beauty of the Sanskrit language it was written in, and in the proper meter. And it was just so amazing to hear. As soon as Nityananda heard this, he fainted. And while laying on the ground, all eight of the different ecstatic symptoms manifested in his form. As soon as these manifested, Sri Vishnu Bhar reached down and embraced Nityananda to his chest and hugged him very deeply. And in this way, he showed all the devotees who Nityananda really was. Now, on another day, Mahaprabhu indicated that he wished to perform the Vyas Puja ceremony for Nityananda. And so the preparations were made at the home of Shrivas. This was going to take place there. So on the eve of that, the Adivas Kirtan took place. Now this has a certain purport in it. Anytime there is a big event, we were reading this with the students at the Bhaktivedanta Academy regarding the wives of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, that the wedding ceremonies for these two ladies at two different times goes, but the wedding was a three-day event. The first day was the Adivas. We have this happen in Mayapur before Gaur Purnima, they do the Adivas. And so the Adivas means the auspicious opening of events leading up to this ceremony. So the Adivas was the night before the Vyas Puja was set for Nityananda the next day. So during that Adivas ceremony, there were very, very sweet kirtans being sung. And during those kirtans, Mahaprabhu himself took on the mood of Baladev and revealed in that mood that Nityananda was none other than that particular Baladev. And then he began to call out Advaitacharya's name. And when he came, he had Advaitacharya recite a variety of prayers glorifying Nityananda. So this was the ceremony leading up to the ceremony. So on the following day, as Nityananda, as the Vyas Puja for Nityananda was started, Nityananda began it by placing a garland on Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu then immediately gave to Nityananda the vision of his six-armed form. So there was this exchange between Nitai and Gauranga prior to the event even beginning. And this began to reveal the divinity of both of them. Now, at this time, Srivas is in the role of the Purohit. He's in the role of the ceremony Acharya. And he had placed a garland in the Inanda's hand and told him to offer that garland to Vyasadeva while he would chant the appropriate mantras. This would allow them to begin the ceremony of worshiping Nityananda. That before worshiping Inanda, Inanda would worship his superior. So when told to do like that, Nityananda put the garland on Mahaprabhu. This is the reason that he put the garland on Mahaprabhu. So all of these intricacies like this are the details of the relationship between Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga. Now, after the Vyas Puja ceremony finished, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered that all the devotees should begin a glorious kirtan. And in this kirtan, it was explained that there was just the symptoms of ecstasy were manifest on everyone. And he himself then asked Srivas to bring me the prasadam that was offered to Nityananda. And then he personally distributed that prasadam to everyone in attendance. So this is a very, very wonderful pastime of worshiping Nityananda. Now, Mahaprabhu could detect very clearly the devotion that Srivas had toward Nityananda. And he blessed him because of this devotion that may the goddess of fortune always remain forever kind to your household and that even the cats and the dogs of your home should have enduring devotion to the Lord. Even the cats and the dogs. Now, we might know two things here. Obviously, in the household, there were cats and dogs. There's no mention of them being in the house. That's a different subject. But there are domestic animals, as Prabhupada said. And these domestic animals were blessed to have devotion to the Lord. I'll sidetrack and tell a little story here, which some people know, I've heard it, but in my home, we used to have a couple of parakeets. And one day, there were two of them in the cage together, a white one and a yellow one. And one day, the yellow one was found dead in the bottom of the cage. One morning, we woke up and it had just... That was it. Now, this cage was directly situated across from where we keep our altar on the opposite wall. The next morning, the second one was in very, very bad condition. It was not dead, but I could see it was dying. So I took one washcloth and laid it on the bottom tier in front of our altar. And I put the bird there. And as I sit here in front of Srila Prabhupada, I swear this is exactly what happened. This bird was kind of laying sideways. It took its beak, because it had no strength to stand up. It took its beak and clawed itself with the beak around till it was facing Srila Prabhupada and Giri Hari, and then it rolled over and died. So, why should we doubt that the dogs and cats in the home of Srivas Pandit have devotion if something like that can happen in the home of an ordinary person? So, in any way, this was the blessing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Now, at this point, by Mahaprabhu's desire, the kirtans begin in the house of Srivas, Srivas Angam. This is a very wonderful place to visit. It's still existing today. Maybe not in its original form, but it's a wonderful place to go and see the birth of the Sankirtan movement. And this was only, as I mentioned, with the intimate associates of Mahaprabhu. And they began this on a particular codicil. And Mahaprabhu began to reveal different transformations of love of Godhead as soon as the chanting of different verses and mantras and prayers began. And this Akadasi is known as Harivasara. So on that night, Mahaprabhu described as the life of the world began to dance. And the auspicious beginning of the Sankirtan movement took place in Srivasa's courtyard, with the names of Krishna, Govinda and Gopal, being raised to the sky by the devotees as they chanted in great ecstasy. Mahaprabhu ordered that all the doors to the courtyard and to the house should be closed and locked, and that wicked and hard-hearted persons were refused entry. Wicked and hard-hearted persons. May we never be put into that category of wicked and hard-hearted persons who are refused entry to the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Anyway, those persons who were refused such entry began to criticize. They began to criticize Mahaprabhu and his devotees. What are they doing in there? They're just making some trouble and some noise. Mahaprabhu paid them no mind. We know these pastimes of Srivasanga. The insults were thrown and complaints were issued, and nonetheless the devotees continued on with the ecstatic Harinam Kirtan. I remember in St. Louis, and I think it was 74, yeah, it must have been 74, we were going to the Forest Park, the big park there, and Sunday afternoons we would do Kirtan on this corner, just across from where the St. Louis Zoo is. We'd set up a nice madras and sit down, and one day the policeman came. And they said, no, you can't do this. And our temple president was like, no, we can do this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to do this. no, you don't have permit. This isn't allowed here, etc. No, we're going to continue to. All right, that's it. You're all going to jail. So they locked the 10 of us up, put us in the paddy wagon, and took us to the jail, which was a short distance away, and put it all in the cell. And we all sat in the cell and chanted. We continued to care time there. Finally said, okay, this is too much noise. We're going to let you go. So in this way, even though there were so many complaints and insults and criticism, Mahaprabhu did not stop this kirtan. And the long night continued on and on. It's described just as the rasa dance with the gopis seemed to go on forever, the kirtan at the house of Srivas began to also seem like it was going on and on forever. Now, at the end of one of these evenings of kirtans, because this went on many, many times, at the end of one of these evenings of kirtan, Mahaprabhu did something that is very, very unique. He sat down on the altar of Srivas, and he took all the Shalakam Shilas of Srivas and put them in his lap. And then he revealed his amazing form as Lord Vishnu. It is such an incredible pastime. Just the fact that he would take the shalakams and put them in his lap, but then to reveal this wonderful form of Lord Vishnu, this made everything very clear to the devotees. Now, on another occasion, there was, of course, the Mahaprakash Lila at the home of Srivas, which is described in great detail. And on that occasion, he manifested different types of devotional trances and presented different types of devotional moods to different devotees. And he sat down on the altar of Srivasa's and manifested all these different forms for 21 hours. And the devotees would do different activities. Srivasa arranged that there would be an abhishek for the Lord while he was sitting there. And then the devotees made different offerings and gifts of flowers. All this while a kirtan is going on. You know, so like when we have our abhishek for the deities here, it's always accompanied by a kirtan. And we have the best of kirtaners in this community. And the kirtans are always very, very amazing. And while it's happening, all the service is being given to the Lord. So in the same way, this is going in there, going on there. And in the course of this 21-hour Sat Praharya, there came a great epiphany. And this was the Mahaprakash Lila, when Mahaprabhu appeared in all of these different forms. This is told in great, great detail in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We're just giving a little synopsis here. Actually, we're giving barely scratching the surface. We have very little time left this morning. We're barely scratching the surface of Mahaprabhu's Lila in Navadvip with Srivas. What to speak of expanded beyond this? Days like today should not be taken as, okay, I'll go to the class in the morning, I'll spend about 45 minutes listening to whoever speak about whatever personality, Srivas or Narottam, and then that's it for the day, okay. No, these are the days that we absorb ourselves throughout the day. We continue reading these pastimes. We continue hearing about these pastimes. We continue diving into this ocean of nectar, of the leela, of the personalities of Mahaprabhu. So, during these kirtans, one evening, Srivasa's mother-in-law decided, this is amazing, kirtans I'm hearing, I want to be a part of it. But, how shall I say, she wasn't exactly a part of Mahaprabhu's intimate inner circle. So, she decided that she would sneak in, so to speak. So, she hid under a basket in a corner. Must have been a large basket. And so, at any rate, the kirtan begins. We've all heard this story. The kirtan begins, and Mahaprabhu stops the kirtan. I'm not feeling the ecstasy tonight. Srivas, is there someone other than our usual group that is in there? No. I've locked the doors, as you said. It's only our men here. Only the intimate group of your associates are here. All right. Kirtan begins again. Something's not right tonight. Something's not right. What is it? So they began a search throughout the quarters. And there, they found the mother-in-law. Srivas was mortified. You know, not only were his words of no, nobody's here but us not true, but it was his own family member. So she was removed. And then the kirtan began again. And Mahaprabhu brought this particular evening's kirtan to the greatest of heights. So in this way, these different functions were going on. Now, additionally, at this time there was one brahmachari, and this brahmachari was very, very austere. He only drank milk. Sometimes during Chaturmasya, sometimes during Bhishma Panchaka, devotees do like this. They just drink a bowl of milk each day. And this brahmachari considered that because of my austerity, because I'm only drinking milk every day, I'm qualified to hear this kirtan. So he also hid himself in the house. He couldn't get in by invitation. So, like Srivas's mother-in-law done, he hid himself in the house. Mahaprabhu again began the kirtan, and no, wait. Something's not right. Srivas, there's someone here, just like before, find them. So they searched, and then they found the brahmachari. Mahaprabhu told him, he said, I'm not feeling any pleasure in the kirtan. Sometimes if there's some impurity in our heart, our japa, you know, we're chanting our japa, and it's just like, today japa was a struggle. Oh, yesterday japa was, you know, we drop into a mood, you know, we can feel it. So anyway, Mahaprabhu was feeling like this. And so Srivas said, well, there is one brahmachari, and he only takes milk. And so he asked if he could come and observe your chanting and dancing. And so he was very eager, and he's so austere, I let him come and hide in the corner. Mahaprabhu actually came very angry. He said, do you think that simply by only drinking milk one can purchase Krishna? If one's heart is not pure, such superficial austerities will not give one devotion to the Lord. So you please remove him. So we can understand from this, you know, sometimes devotees, even during Prabhupada's time, perform so many difficult austerities unnecessarily. Now, Prabhupada said in a morning walk in 1975 in Denver, they were discussing fasting and things. He said, if one can fast and still do the service, that's all right. But one should not fast and all they can do is sleep. Oh, I'm fasting, I have no strength, all I can do is stay in bed all day. So there's no point in that. But if one can fast, if one can perform some austerities and still do their service, then that's okay. That's accepted. Anyway, so in this way, the supreme personality of Godhead, you know, showed that this austerity is not the key to attaining Krishna. The Brahman on his way out, he said to Srivas, can I at least get a glimpse of the form of the Lord? And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet on the head of this Brahmin. And then, all right, now you go perform your austerities like this. So we're going to finish there. It's timely to finish the class properly. And There's literally, as I say, pages and pages and pages of pastimes about Sri Ras. These are just some of the beginning pastimes with Mahaprabhu during his Navadvip Leela. And we encourage everyone, absorb yourself in these pastimes. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, these are filled with stories of the activities of Sri Ras and his association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we thank you all very much. Sri Ras Pandit Ki Jai!